Hi guys, and welcome back to Clueless, the podcast. So, if you don't know where you're going in your life or where you want to go next, then this is the podcast for you. We're here to share our stories and hear from your experiences and hopefully inspire you to follow the career that you want to do and live the life that you want to live. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts as usual. And also don't forget to drop us a little rating on Apple Podcasts as well. It really helps us out. Also, lastly, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @Clueless_the_podcast_.
So this episode is a little different to our usual setup. As many of you are, we discussed what's happening in America at the moment. But it's not just America. This happens in the UK too. Mark Duggan, Rashan Charles, Sarah Reid, Edson DaCosta and Belly Majinga are just a few of the names that have lost their lives at the hands of police murders. Racism happens every day and we want people to be aware of what it's like to be a black or ethnic minority member growing up in the UK.
I can't name one black or minority ethnic person that hasn't experienced some kind of racism, whether it's just subtle remarks, comments or just being treated differently because of their skin colour, or from the more extreme end, the violence and the physical abuse. Being mixed race myself, you know, I wonder whether we should do a podcast on this episode, because I understand that I am still so privileged and I'll never experience the oppression that black people face daily. But I do believe that it's still so, so important for black and minority ethnic people and white people to use their platforms and their podcasts and their Instagrams to talk about what is really important.
So in this episode, we have invited two very special guests who are going to share their experiences and stories about growing up mixed race within the UK. So listen, educate yourself and do better.
We're so grateful that they've taken the time to talk to us about such sensitive topics, and we hope that you can take something useful away from this episode. Also, we've showed all the guests the questions beforehand and they are happy to answer all the questions that we've given them.
So firstly, thank you so much, Olivia, for coming onto the podcast for a chat. We really appreciate you coming on and speaking about this issue, as it's very important and relevant, especially at this time. So first of all, for those people that don't know much about you, could you please tell us just a little bit more about yourself, kind of like what you do, and then just a little bit about your kind of family background and like ethnic background?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on your podcast.
Don't worry.
I hope I don't scare your audience away. and second of all, I'm Olivia Otiba. Basically, I'm a journalist, so I graduated last year in journalism. My family history, so I'm mixed race as well. So, yeah, I'm mixed race. So my mum's from Newcastle, and my other side half of my family, like my dad's side of the family, are from Nigeria. They're like Nigerian British. However, I was literally just saying to Zara before that literally I'm still confused about my heritage, because I've grown up in a white kind of community and I've not had that kind of conversation with my dad's side of the family, if that makes sense, because I don't have much contact with them. So I was just saying I've been doing all of this research recently to try and find out a little bit more about it. But yeah, as far as I know, I'm British, mixed race. My dad's Nigerian and my mum's from Newcastle. So
yeah, and it's not as like black and white as that as well. Like everyone's like everywhere kind of. But I guess I kind of go on to my next question. So your mum's from Newcastle. You didn't live in Scotland your whole life, did you? You grew up in Newcastle.
Yeah, so I'm actually like born and bred like Geordie, but then I moved up here. Yeah, I moved up here. Wait, I was just about to say that. You beat me to it. But why I man? So I moved up here when I was 9 or 10, about 9 or 10. I've been here for a while, hence the accent's a little bit weird.
Yeah, your accent is weird. Now when I'm listening, I'm like, ooh.
It's like a thank you. It's like a mix, I think. I'm really, it's very odd.
How did you find like growing up in like both Newcastle and like Edinburgh? Like, was it different like in each, because is Newcastle a bit more mixed than here?
I would definitely say it's like more, I think in Edinburgh, like I think people think it's really multicultural, but then you go to other places and then you realize that, oh okay, it's not that multicultural. Newcastle, at the same time, like I grew up obviously late 90s or 2000s, that's when I was kind of a bit younger, like primary school and getting to know my bearings in life and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I was still kind of one of the only mixed race kids and there wasn't that many, but I presume I lived in kind of more of a suburban part of town. So I think the more you go into town in Newcastle, it becomes more diverse and more multicultural, like the closer you get to the centre of town.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, like I think Newcastle, this might be wrong, so I might have my facts wrong, but I'm sure Newcastle has like the second highest concentration of like the Jewish community in Europe, I think.
Wow.
Surprisingly, that might be wrong. But they have a very large community of like Jewish people, you know, Muslim people, Asian people, just loads of different religions and ethnic cultures.
Yeah.
However, it was still predominantly white when I was younger. So
yeah.
I wouldn't say it was too much different for me in terms of I was still kind of the only mixed race kid, if that makes sense, in my year of school. But in terms of like overall diversity, I definitely think Newcastle is a little bit more diverse, but there's a long way to go in both areas, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So did you feel like you were... Did you feel like you stood out or were treated any differently because like of the colour of your skin?
I mean, Newcastle, I think I literally just wrote a big Facebook post about this actually yesterday.
I saw that.
So I think Newcastle, not so much, funnily enough. Edinburgh, I wouldn't say it was the colour of my skin. I've never had any like, I've been lucky, like I've never had direct racism.
Yeah.
And to some degree, I do think there's kind of like a light skin privilege, which I'm not proud of.
Yeah,
but I definitely
I agree.
Think, yeah, you get less racism. But however, there's still kind of coveted racism. And I definitely addressed that in my post yesterday when I said it's kind of more things like people comment on your hair or people comment or may just comment, like, can you tan? And it's like more coveted racism, yeah. You know?
It's so funny that like we've all kind of experienced the same thing. Like, I don't know. It's really interesting. Like, or sometimes like when we were younger, like everyone would be like, oh, like you're half caste. And I'm like, yeah, like I'm half caste. But like, we don't really realize how like at the time that was like how problematic that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like I said, I don't think I was directly targeted for the colour of my skin because there was other, you know, mixed race people, ethnic people in my year at school, and
yeah,
I don't think it was I don't think they saw my colour of my skin and it was like a bull to a red rag kind of thing, but no, I definitely
totally.
Yeah, but I definitely think it was more I don't even want to call it curiosity, I guess it's more ignorance, and they would try and like wind you up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely.
The only time I've ever saw someone, like, kind of picked out for the colour of my skin, and I'm not just being bitter, like, one of those bitter people, but I definitely think teachers sometimes, I saw someone else address this as well, I don't think, again, they look at the colour of your skin, they're like, right, I'm going to pick on that brown person, you know?
Yeah.
But I think when you're talking, when everyone's talking in class, I think it's a lot easier for them to identify you as, like, the one who's talking or the one who's laughing, and I did feel like sometimes I would say, well, you know, everyone else is laughing, like why am I the only one that like, getting sent out of the room, or you know, like why am I, and I'm not this because I was probably a little shit, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, I did feel like sometimes it was just easier for them to identify me because maybe I did stand out a little bit.
That's so mad. Like, literally, when you listen to the full podcast, like, the girl we had on before, Estelle, literally
exactly
said the exact
yeah.
same in school. Like, she, because she's, like, loud and stuff. Yeah.
Totally.
So, like, I kind of addressed it with Estelle as well. I want to see your thoughts on it. Like, obviously, I was aware of, like, where I was from and, like, my ethnic background and stuff. But, like, you know, like, didn't really like my surname and stuff like that. And I didn't really talk. People knew, obviously, I was half Moroccan, half Scottish. But, like, sometimes I felt like I wasn't. You try to be as like white as possible because obviously like I grew up in quite like a very white area, middle class area.
Yeah.
And like, did you ever feel like you had to kind of suppress your like mixed raceness? And I know it's quite hard as well being mixed race because like sometimes you're like not black enough, but you're not white enough. Like, I don't know. So like, did you ever feel like you kind of had to suppress your self, your like identity?
Yeah, I mean, I was the same as you. Like, I would, like, try... Sometimes I would, like, write my mum's surname on, like... It would go through a phase where I would, like, write my mum's surname on, like, jotters. You know, like, books at school and, like, things like that. And I definitely... Obviously, the straightening of the hair, you know? Like, a lot of us straighten our hair because... Sometimes it is just easier to straighten your hair, but I think a lot of it when you're younger is more to do with... Like, now I just straighten my hair because I just physically don't have time to, like, style it curly and things like that.
Me too.
Yeah, but I think I'm lazy as well. But I just think when I was younger, I definitely you know, straightened it maybe to fit in, or, you know, I wanted to look like everyone else because they, you know, they were skinny and I was curvy and, you know, I had kind of, you know, a big ass and I had boobs by the time I was like 11 and they didn't. And I kind
Damn
of,
girl.
I, yeah, it wasn't even popular back then. It was still like the Paris Hilton era when I was at school. And like, I definitely think that maybe was a little bit, I didn't understand like why I was going through that so young compared to everyone else, and they had like straight hair and really slim bodies, and I think that's the only time I've ever really felt like, oh, okay, like I'm different. And maybe I love my family and they're always very supportive, but I think maybe sometimes I never felt different, but I think sometimes you knew you were like the only brown person in the room, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think you learned to more like embrace that Nigerian part of your identity as you kind of grew older?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I definitely think that's like a age thing. I think everyone goes through that, though. I think whether it's like different little things, you know, like, I think everyone kind of embraces themselves a bit more as they get older. So definitely I'm like, I love my skin color. Like, you know, I like, if I wanted to, I could wear my hair curly. It wouldn't bother me. I could wear it straight. Like, I'm happy with my identity and I'm really interested in it. Like I said, I've been researching it more because I don't know much about my dad's side of the family. So I'm actually really proud. I mean, I'm friends with Zara's brother and he doesn't believe me. Like that, you know, my family, kind of, my family name's like Saudi Arabian apparently. And I've just been doing more research into like my heritage. So
it's been cool.
I'm proud of not all of the history that I found out, but I'm proud of, you know, where I come from now, 100%.
Yeah.
So do you think things have like changed a lot since you were younger? Do you think people are more kind of accepting of different ethnic backgrounds? Maybe people are more open to hiring people from different ethnic backgrounds and like the workplace and stuff? Or do you not think enough is really being done yet?
You know, like I definitely think I hear racial slurs a lot less like now, but then again, I'm not sure whether that's to do with age. And obviously you're in a workplace setting, there's rules for that. You cannot be like that when you're at work. And so I don't know whether it's just more that these people again are maybe coveted, but I've never, I don't hear a lot of racism now at all or racial slurs. I think people kind of grow out of that, try to impress their friends. And sorry, what was your last question there?
It was just about in the workplace, if you think enough is really being done to include people of different races, or is there still kind of, I don't know, do you feel a bit more of outcast within the workplace?
No, my work in particular, I work for Lloyds Bank, like on the side and in conjunction with my journalism. And that definitely, they are so focused on diversity and like equality and equal, you know, equal work opportunities. So I'm very lucky. I do actually think, and I don't know whether, I still haven't decided whether this is a positive or a negative, but there are obviously, you do see a lot of like BAME opportunities now. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm not too sure, because even for me, I don't feel sometimes like I have a right to apply for BAME. And I know it sounds odd, but I, again, maybe this comes back to, I don't really see myself, I'm British, you know, see myself as BAME. And a lot of the jobs now are only accepting, especially in journalism, you see them time after time again, like BAME, you know, BAME jobs only or BAME applicants only. So I don't know yet whether that's a positive or a negative, but I definitely think now employment opportunities are better. It's just kind of finding the balance of not being,
not positively, she made a good point, like positive discrimination, you know what I mean? But
exactly. Like not kind of excluding one group, you know, to benefit another as well. I think it's kind of finding the balance.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I read your article and that I found it really interesting that you were kind of saying like, oh, having this label can actually make you kind of stand out more and not kind of feel like an outsider, even though you're British, but kind of like, oh, you're not really British. And obviously that's clearly problematic. That's not what it's saying, but it can be read into it that way. Like there's connotations like, oh, you're different in some way.
100%. Like I said, thank you for reading the article.
it was really good.
Actually. Like I said, thank you. Thank you very much. But I definitely think it is a little bit, it's just finding the balance, because I feel like BAME especially is kind of going off a bit off topic, but I do definitely think like BAME, B-A-M-E is a little bit problematic in the sense that, again, I've never really felt really that, I'm just me, you know, I'm British.
Yeah.
That's what I identify as. So am I now not technically British in the eyes of the authorities just purely because of the colour of my skin? That doesn't sit right with me all the time.
Yeah, totally. It's so weird, honestly. Like, when you listen to the full podcast, like, everything you're... It's so weird how we all have, like, the same thoughts about all this.
Which is
probably
good.
Because we're all mixed race, yeah.
Yeah.
So kind of, like, changing gears here. So, obviously, you would have seen all the Tuesday blackouts and things like that that happened. You know, everyone had their Instagram, they had the black screen, stuff like that. There was a lot of criticism as well with regards to this. Some people were saying that it's jumping on a bandwagon or it's like a trend and they're doing little for the whole movement. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Those people that were kind of like criticizing the...
Yeah. I'm very neutral. I've got a very neutral mind. I'm very objective. So, like, I'll always listen to people's points and then kind of weigh it up for myself. But I definitely think, on one hand, I think it's great. A lot of my friends or people that I just know on social, like on Instagram and social media, like, I thought it was great that, you know, a lot of white friends or white, you know, people were raising awareness for it because that's what we need.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have also seen people where I feel like they are maybe jumping a little bit more on the bandwagon, hence again why I wrote the Facebook post, because,
yeah,
you know, for example, a mixed race guy that I went to school with, or was at, well, he was at Birmingham, but we all hung out together, but we were at school together, and he wrote a status as well the other week just explaining his experience, some of the racial abuse he's received. And what kind of prompted me to write my post was seeing that some of the people who liked that were outwardly racist in high school.
Yeah.
And I just posed the question, well, have you ever taken... It's all well and good, like, doing a flippant like. It takes nothing to do, like, a like on someone's post, but have you actually taken responsibility for the way you made someone feel, you know?
Yeah.
But so I guess that's on the other side, I have.
Yeah, but I guess, again, like, my friends, like, some people I'm really good friends with, like, when we were younger, we'd joke about it and be like, oh, half caste and stuff. And, like, we didn't... Again, we were a lot younger then. Like, they would never dream of saying that now. And I think it is about just, like, acknowledging... I was ignorant. I was like, yeah, I'm half caste. Like, I wouldn't even say, like, oh, what? Like, you shouldn't be calling me that. Because, like, we weren't, I guess it goes back to education as well, like, in school and stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, 100%, like, I agree with what you're saying. But I also think, like, people do learn and people do change. Like, my friends would never dream of calling me that now.
Oh, God,
now.
No.
But, yeah. Like, you're going to call me that now, Rachel.
I know, sorry, man. Just no way. So how important do you think, then, social media is for educating people about, like, discrimination and racism, like, also within the UK? Because we were saying, like, with Estelle, like, before, that people kind of think racism is only something that really happens in US or, like, big cities like London, and it's not actually a thing, like, say, in Scotland. How important do you think social media is for, like, raising awareness?
Just going back to your point there about, like, London versus Scotland, I also think that's a little bit of an ignorance in Scotland, because I think they think, oh, okay, well, we're Scottish and, you know, we can't, like, be racist, you know, like, because it's all the problems are Westminster or they're down in London. And actually, you see, again, it's kind of nationalist pride. And for me, that's kind of denying the reality of what's going on, you know, like, you can't just say, oh, well, we're in Scotland, so racism does not exist at all, because actually in London it's a lot more multicultural, so if anything it probably happens less. But again, we don't know that. Everyone's got an individual experience. In terms of social media, I think social media is great for raising awareness. Obviously it's there, we're always on it, you know, that's the main kind of source of information, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. But at the same time, is it making people lazy? There's so much value in actually going away and researching things. Like, research doesn't always equate to being on Instagram or Facebook. Like, and is it kind of, my only question would be, is it making people a little bit lazy in the sense that they wouldn't just go and actually research Black history or research, you know, other events that have happened outside of Britain, because they're just like, okay, well, everyone's uploading Black squares, so I'll just retweet the things on social media and then that's my job done. They don't actually absorb the information or go and do external research. So again, I mean, I think it's great. Social media is so good for connecting people and informing people. But as long as people are also making the effort to do, like, their own research in their own time.
Yeah, no, that does totally make sense. And I mean, it is true. And, like, social media has been so good in just, like, raising awareness about all these things and, like, how you can help. And even, like, phones and stuff, you can literally just sign a petition from your phone, like, that stuff like that, you know, it doesn't take any effort. And I think that's really good. And I think you're right. Like, it shouldn't just be like, I'll jump on this trend and then I'm done. You know, I've done my bit. I think this attitude needs to kind of continue on. But yeah, so I read your article all about, you know, the term BAME and stuff like that. And you kind of express, like, you know, like this term, it singles people out, maybe like yourself, like mixed race people and stuff, you know, and maybe you makes you feel a bit more like an outsider in Britain. And does it kind of do more harm than good? Or is it kind of like raising awareness? Like, what are your thoughts on the term?
I mean, this might be unpopular, but to be honest, I think it's just another way to label ethnic people as, you know, I mean, underprivileged, or like we're like charity cases.
Yeah.
And we're certainly not. We're just human. Like, again, I can't believe we still have to say this, and it sounds so cringy, but we literally are all the same, like underneath. So I don't understand why. Yes, there's one argument that, yes, it's good because you're giving more BAME people job opportunities and you're raising awareness, but at the same time, like, we're not charity cases, you know, we've got brains, we're just as capable, we're just as smart, and that's the main thing. So to be honest, I don't like the term. You probably saw that in the article. I don't really like the term. I actually think it just perpetrates more racism, because then it just fuels the other side to think, well, what about us? And then that's quite a dangerous thing to do, because I don't know if you know, in South Africa, like, some white people are now claiming white apartheid, because I read a story, so I'm going to be very quick with this, but when I was working for a journalism company, and I read a story about how an energy company, they have black employees and white employees, but they basically did this thing where they were like, okay, everyone who works for us and uses our energy supply, if you're black, you get 20% off your bill at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and then all the white people are like, well, hang on a minute, like, we're not earning any more money, you know? And I get, again, they're trying to make up for the past, which is great, but I just think we need to be careful that, is this just perpetrating more angst among communities? And not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think the government just have to be very careful with that, because it just maybe looks, like I said again, like you're trying to incite a little bit more racism in society. I don't know, that's just my opinion.
Estelle had a good point as well. Like, she's like, the term, like, that is just literally, it's like white people and then BAME, like, it's like, you know what I mean? Why is there a whole different term for it? It's just anyone that's not white. And she, I don't know, you said very similar things. And like, to be honest, I didn't even think that much about like all that. And when what points you guys raised, definitely, like, I'm left like, oh yeah, maybe that is not the best. But then it's hard as well, because like, you can't just not acknowledge somebody. Like, I don't know, you can't just not acknowledge somebody for being mixed race or whatever. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, you have no color, because they, like we're all equal. But like, then are people just like, I don't know, too scared to even acknowledge that someone is black or whatever. I don't know. It's so hard. Yeah. Like,
I definitely just think, you know, if you're, it's good to raise awareness of things that need to be raised, you know? So like the George Floyd, what happened there, that's a valid cause to raise awareness. Yeah. But is raising awareness of someone's mere nationality or skin color, is that really helpful? That to me shouldn't be the important factor. Like, yes, if someone's killed because of their skin colour, of course, raise awareness of it. If someone's being discriminated against their skin colour, raise awareness about it. But merely, if you're going to keep on highlighting something, it's never going to go away. Like, it's never going to become normalised if you're always highlighting how different it is.
That is so true.
Yeah, because there was someone else on the article you were writing who was like, yeah, these differences should be celebrated, or just, I mean, they definitely should be celebrated, but kind of like making them more awareness to them, whereas like you were saying, like, actually sometimes it's, well, we are kind of all the same, so why do we need all these labels? I think, I don't know, it's not really for me to have an opinion on, but yeah, it's an interesting thing.
I'm still not sure, like, even when I'm saying this today, I'll probably lie in bed tonight and say, oh, should I have said that? You know, like, do I think that? But honestly, like, I just think if we keep on highlighting the difference, like, it's good to celebrate differences. I think one of my interviewees actually said that. He was like, I think it's good to celebrate differences, and I totally got that, and it is to some degree. But to constantly label, again, like a charity case, like, be it AME, people are more susceptible to coronavirus, or poor them, you know, why are they so sickly? I mean, I'm not sickly, you know, and I can't speak for everybody, but I just feel like, again, raise awareness where it's due, like celebrations or events or festivals, or, you know, when something bad does happen, But I don't think an everyday basis reminding everyone that you're the different one is necessarily helpful, in my opinion.
Yeah, but then also but then again, like, if it wasn't for that, would people be getting these jobs? You know what I mean? It's so hard, but yeah, I completely...
Yeah, I'm in two minds, to be honest. I'm not too sure. Like I said, I'll probably sit tonight and be like, well, you know, because I'm so objective, so I just weigh things up. But yeah, I'm not sure, honestly.
So yeah, just kind of rounding up now, what would you say to someone in Scotland and the UK who wants to help? What can they do to kind of make a difference?
So I definitely think, like, again, just educate. Like, it doesn't take... People should be interested in different cultures because we all live on the world, you know. You should be interested in researching a different country or researching different people. I do think British people are particularly known for an ignorance sometimes. We think we all sing Kumbaya and it's all rainbows and daisy chains, but it's really not. So I just think doing your research, I think, is huge. Maybe that's a journalist in me, I don't know, but I just think you've got to research. I mean, how are you meant to know about anything if you don't go away and learn about it? You know, it's like anything. So that would be my main tip, is to support people, first of all. Raise awareness when, you know, it's due, or raise awareness when, if you're passionate about something, raise awareness about it 100%. But do your research and make sure that you're being respectful, you know what you're talking about, you've spoken. Also, speaking to people of different cultures, making sure, your children have, like, other friends that aren't just white. And I think that really helps. If kids are speaking to other kids from a young age in different cultures, then maybe we could start to see a huge decrease in racism or coveted racism. Another thing I would say is education. There's not enough Black history taught in schools. There's not enough any ethnic history really taught in schools apart from World War II, and you do a bit on slavery, but other than that, it's all... there's never any good things educated in school. There's never any positives or achievements, you know, that apart from, you know, like you said, you know, Martin Luther King and things like that, of course, that is taught, but not enough. So I definitely think it comes down to an education from parents, teachers, authorities, schools. And I am actually thinking about getting a group of, you know, ethnic people together where we volunteer to go into schools. And if you want to get involved, do teacher training days and sit with teachers and educate them and tell them how to deal with it when someone is racist. Maybe to promote more open conversation. And if we can all just... I'm a big believer, if you speak to people, you know, we can all find a common ground somewhere. So that would be my tips.
They're very good, kind of similar to Estelle, like, just chat, you know, like, people, like, someone came up to you and asked you about XYZ, like, you'd want to, you know, you want to talk to people and, like, help them understand, you know what I mean?
Exactly, just communicate, that's all it takes. I mean, sorry, my final statement would be, like, I was in a bar, and you might edit this out, but I was in a bar in Dublin, basically, and there was this girl... it's just an example of why you should communicate. There was this girl who passed me, I thought she was gorgeous, she had, like, the best outfit. You know, she just looked great. And I remember just thinking, I was like, oh, she looks amazing. I was like, I wish I looked like that, or I wish I had, you know, her clothes or whatever. It's just one of those stupid, like, thoughts. And then I actually bumped into her in the toilet, and she was behind me, and she's like, oh my God, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. I wish I looked like you.
So, no way.
Yeah. And then we started chatting, and I was like, that's so fun. And I was like, no, you're gorgeous. You know, you're gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I kind of said to her, I was like, no, you're absolutely beautiful. She's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm really not. You... and, you know, she's like, no, you are, honestly. And I was like, listen, I was like, well, it's funny because I actually noticed you earlier. And I was like, you know, and I thought your outfit was so cool, and, like, you look great. And so it's funny how when you just speak to people, you find that you have that common ground, you know?
Oh, totally.
Wow. So although that's not in relation to race, it's, like, the same principle.
No, but it's all about kind of communicating and just, like, talking to each other about these kinds of things. You know, they're uncomfortable at times, and it is a sensitive topic, but just talking about it is so important, and to kind of spread the awareness.
Exactly.
But yeah, wow, 28 minutes have flown by
so quick.
Sorry.
No, it was so good, thank you so much.
Also, if you want to plug your articles, plug your journalism.
You're the one,
like,
spreading awareness.
What can people, like, search for you?
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of finishing off buying the domain, actually, but if you just type in, I think it's Olivia Otiba, I think it's .wixsite.com or /.wixsite.com. So it's very, I need to buy the domain, but if you just type in Olivia Otiba or follow me on Instagram or Facebook, so OTIGBAH, I always post there. You know, I'm always doing little kind of stories on my articles. I'll be starting my video interviews soon, so I'll get you guys involved in that as well, through YouTube. So yeah, just follow me on social media, and I think from there you've got the link and everything.
Yeah, we'll link you. We'll tag you as well. Yeah, we'll definitely tag you.
Yeah, perfect.
But yeah, it's been great to have you. Thank you so much for chatting to us.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, I hope I don't scare your audience away. I said this the other week on my friend's podcast. I was like, what if I banish people from your podcast?
If we lose followers, yeah, if we start dropping followers, I'll be blaming you.
Yeah, I'm really sorry if my views didn't land. But no, thank you so much for having me, guys. And it's a great cause that you're raising awareness for. So thanks for having this conversation.
Firstly, thanks Estelle for coming to talk to us today. We know what we're going to talk about is a bit of a sensitive topic, and we're so grateful for you taking the time to speak to us. So first of all, we've known you since high school, but for those that don't know you, could you tell us a little bit more about kind of your family history, ethnic background?
Hi, so my mum is from Ghana and my dad is Scottish, but I've been like raised here like my whole entire life, so and like obviously like I've been to visit Ghana and everything like that, but as far as like sort of I'm concerned, like Scotland is my home. Like I love it here, and you know, like this is like all I've ever known, so yeah
I'm like the same as you. Like my dad's from Morocco and it's the same, like we've like grown up here our whole life. Like I've been over a few times, but I didn't realise that you're mixed. I thought that you were, like, fully Ghanaian.
No. Like, I think it's also probably quite confusing, like, with, like, my brother and me as well. Like, we do, like, look alike, but my brother's, like, a lot darker skin than I am.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, like, quite pale, like, in comparison.
Yeah, I get you. So, like, obviously we've lived here our whole life in Scotland. You're from quite a small like little village, if anyone's heard of it. How is life like growing up there when you're younger? Like did you ever feel like, I mean, you must have been like one of the few people that were kind of ethnic minority.
Definitely. Like I think I was like out on like a walk the other day with my mum and we kind of like walked through the village and then, you know, a couple of people kind of like said hi and whatnot and like, oh, hi Estelle. And then mum was like, you know, everyone seems to know you here. I'm like, mum, it's probably because like we're the only people that aren't white in this whole entire village. So it's kind of a given that like they kind of like should know you anyway.
Yeah.
But like other than that, to be honest, I think I'm probably quite like lucky, for lack of a better word. I don't really like to say lucky that I've not experienced like any racism or discrimination, that says, because that should just be like the norm. But like I think it took me probably until I was like mid primary school to sort of realize I was perhaps different. But I think it's just kind of like child mentality. You don't know like about sort of anything to like on that kind of level. Like whereas like my friends, like we would all kind of, you know, like the only difference is we've seen is like, oh, like my hair is in bunches today, like and you were glasses or you were in like a skirt. Yeah. So like I never really felt that I was like an outcast or anything like that, which like I do feel sort of grateful for in a way, but at the same time, like I shouldn't feel grateful for that, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm the exact same as you. Like I felt, and like it's kind of when you're younger, like when you're kids, like nobody. Racism is a thing that you're like, you know, you're kind of taught maybe by your parents and stuff. It's not, no one is born racist, you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. It's just like I don't know if you experienced this, Sarah, but like, you know, your kind of parents or like your mum or your whoever kind of gives you that like pep talk before, like, you know, like it's like if you're getting like a row for something or you've been, I don't know, like mucking about outside and then, you know, it's like I do remember a couple of times like my mum kind of sat both me and my brother down, like, and my dad as well, just to be like, not necessarily, oh, like, don't get yourself in trouble, but it's like people may treat you differently when you do get in trouble, because I mean that obviously is the case now. It's like even like amongst adults and everything like that, so you kind of, it's only in those sort of scenarios where you realize like, oh, someone might treat me differently.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You know, like me and like one of my friends who's white, we're doing the same thing, but I might get the full blame for it and they might sort of not get away with it, but they might not get like as harsh a punishment or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, kind of like I said, like I'm not, well, at least I don't remember anything that was like, you know, sort of full-blown racism, or at least mm-hmm. that I was aware of. Like, I feel my mum's probably got like a lot more experiences than
yeah.
I do in that sense, you know.
Yeah, so is it fine with like all your friendship groups at school and teachers? Was there ever a moment where you felt like, oh, I feel a little bit different, or yeah, I feel like I'm in the minority here?
You know, I think it was more like in like high school.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure like why that is, but I think like in general, like everyone that knows me knows that I'm quite like loud and things like that. And you know, I'm all, like, if you know, I'm one of these people where if like you can't see me, then you can definitely kind of hear me.
Yeah.
So like, and I'm like chatty and everything like that. And I found, and I don't know if it was just because perhaps I was or I am loud, that I feel like I would be singled out, even though clearly I wasn't the only one talking. I'm not like sitting talking to myself the whole time, you know. Yeah. But I like, maybe I just like sort of shrugged that, and it perhaps didn't like affect me, or I didn't feel as if I was constantly being like singled out in front of everyone or anything like that. And I think if there was a moment where I did feel like that, then I probably would have raised it with like guidance or whoever.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have tolerated that, or I'd like to think that I wouldn't have.
Yeah, nah, totally. Mm-hmm.
With your friends as well, did you feel like you would have liked to have had more friends that were from minority background, or yeah, like maybe you could relate to more, or was that just like not even an issue?
Yeah, like to be honest, like I understand that question, like in terms of to make me feel less that I was, you know, the only one. But also, like, it's kind of a strange one, because I feel like that question also has like the under, like, not anything against anyone that's asked this question, but like undertones of like, oh, you know, if like all minorities will sort of group together and be best friends and all that, you know, it's that sort of expectation where if there's like another black person in the class, me and that black person will automatically get along, and that's not the case whatsoever. It's not that.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps again the sort of child and sort of going into adolescent mentality, you don't kind of feel like that, or like at least I didn't feel like that, where if I was to see another person that like from like an ethnic background, I'd immediately think, oh, me and them can make a connection, because in a way, like I said, I've always lived here.
Yeah.
And this is the culture that I know the most, more than any other, so it would be difficult for me to even relate to someone else, which is probably quite sad in a way, but
yeah,
it's like, say, I've been brought up in a totally like white, perhaps maybe not like middle class, but sort of lower middle class background, where, you know, everyone kind of thinks the same and things like that. So it wasn't really like anything where I felt that, oh, maybe if I had someone else like me, things would be a bit easier. I think maybe in instances where if I did face any sort of racism or discrimination, that like that person would be more likely to understand, perhaps.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is, you know, why perhaps like maybe you do prefer to hang around with people that look like you or speak like you. But like, again, I think I was quite lucky to not feel that I needed that sort of comfort blanket in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, nah, totally. That was a good, I feel like exactly how you felt. Like,
yeah,
I think we both had similar experiences as well. Like, I think,
definitely.
Like, obviously, not the word like lucky, but yeah, I think that we all had pretty like understanding friends and stuff. But to be fair, there were times, like I remember in school, there's one time we had like a cooking class, and like my friend who's got a really like Scottish name, she's just before me in like the class register. And like every single time we'd go through the register, she'd be like, oh, Zara, are you... you're the one that doesn't eat meat. And like, obviously, like, I've never not eaten meat. I think maybe she thought I was like Muslim or like halal or whatever. I was like, what? Like, every
it's just
time.
Like a ridiculous assumption based on your name. Like, how ridiculous is that?
Because like Ailey like has sorry, Ayla, I've just outed you. Her name, like, is really Scottish, and like it was her that didn't eat red meat at the time. So she she, instead of thinking like, oh, it's that girl, it's obviously going to be the one with like the weird name, and like
so bad.
Like, again, I think my name is like my. I don't think my name suggests that I'm sort of from anywhere necessarily. Like, my last name's very, very Scottish. My first name's French, even though I've got nothing to do with France in a way. You know, like, so. I feel like if someone's to read, you know, kind of like you're saying, if someone's to read that off the register, I don't think they'd make that like assumption right away. But I think if you've got like a, like, I hate saying it, but like quote unquote black name or a white name, you know, it's like there's already those assumptions. And I'm sorry that you had to experience that.
It's fine, but like, I'm just thinking about stuff like
I mean, it's ridiculous because it's not even like, oh, you're going to be offended that someone assumes that you don't eat meat, but it's the fact that, like, what is she basing that off, like, on, sorry, you know, but and then,
But it is definitely, like, a form of racism, like, although it's quite, it's subtle, but it's these things that the white people that don't even have to deal with. Like, I have the whitest name, Rachel Smith.
So it's like, to, like, sort of, like, look up. Like, you know, if someone's like to come, like an alien was to come to Earth,
and they're like,
"Who's the whitest name?"
And they'll just look.
I know about 50 Rachels. I'm like, I actually know a Rachel Ann Smith. Like, that's my middle name, Ann. It doesn't get any better. It's so bad. That's the thing. Like, I would never, like, that would never be an issue for me. So it's these things that you experience that you wouldn't even be aware of.
So, like, so obviously, like, going back to that, like, I didn't like my name. Like, it was always difficult, and, like, it's always uncomfortable when people be, like, trying to pronounce it in the register, and that's not really anyone's fault, but it's stuff like that, kind of feeling a bit uncomfortable and stuff, and I used to, like, especially, like, in early years of high school, I'd always kind of be, like, oh, like, people would ask me where I'm from, I'd be, like, oh, Morocco's, like, it's near Spain. I wouldn't really say North Africa just because, like, the connotations of that, like, and like, I know how you
and,
say that.
And as well, you'll probably get asked, like, you know, classic sort of Mean Girls question, like, oh, so, like, why aren't you black then? You know, if you said you're from North Africa, do you know what I mean? Or like, your family's from there,
literally. And like, I think, I don't know, I wouldn't. I feel like we both, you know, had pretty. We've grown up in like Scotland and stuff, but do you ever feel like? Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I was, you know, knew a bit more about, like, my cult, my, like, Arabic side and, like, Moroccan side. Like, do you ever feel like you are not trying, but are you, like, suppressing your kind of, like, a whole other side of you?
To be honest, it's not, in a way, that's something that both of us can't really control. I don't think it's not something that we chose to do. I think that was kind of up to our parents to decide that for us. Because... you know, like I said, like, when I'm living here, I'm kind of, it's, you know, it's like La La Land almost. I don't think that I'm, like, or at least, like, I don't wake up and recognise that, oh, like, you know, I'm mixed race, by the way, like, just to remind myself. Like, I don't need to think about that. But, you know, like, when I've been to Ghana, like, a couple of times, you know, we get, like, me and my dad used to get called, I think it's Obroni, which means, like, white person. So, like, it's quite funny, like, the sort of... like whenever I like I'm over there I'm considered white and perhaps when I'm over here people will think that like you know like I'm black you know and it's like I'm either I always kind of think to myself like you know whenever someone sort of asks me that question like oh you know and Zara you probably get this but it's like oh so like you know like do you feel more white or do you feel more like do you feel more this or do that and it's not necessarily like a feeling or like an where you have to pick and choose sides, which I feel like perhaps there's maybe like a slight sort of animosity towards white people in Ghana because of obviously like colonization and things like that. But they, like, I know that like when people say that, oh, like Obroni and stuff, they don't mean it in a malicious way. It is very sort of playful and whatnot. And if I was to be there sort of permanently, I don't think that would actually ever be an issue. But it's, you do feel... I think, it, like, as a mixed race person, I can only sort of speak on my experience that sometimes you feel as if people expect you to choose a side. Which is ridiculous because I'm like in my eyes, I'm either neither or I'm both. Like, you have to accept me as being white and black, or you know, or neither. Like, I wouldn't accept someone saying, oh, you're white, and neither would I accept someone saying, oh, like, you're black, purely because I am both.
Yeah. Good way of putting it.
Yeah. I've thought about this a lot.
So how do you kind of think, well, do you think things have changed since when you were younger, like in the whole like job market? And do you think people are more open to hiring people with different ethnic, from different ethnic backgrounds and from minority backgrounds? Do you think kind of a lot has changed, or not really, or more needs to be done?
You know, I can't, there's only so much that I can speak on, like, especially the jobs kind of side. Like, mm-hmm. I've only really had, like, sort of the jobs that I've had, like, as being, like, a student and stuff, like, working in bars and working in shops, etc. And, but I think, like, you know, when you get to sort of, like, white-collar professional kind of jobs, mm-hmm. I don't think it's, or I anticipate the recruitment process to be fine, but perhaps when you're actually in the job, I think that's probably when, you know, you'll see the discrimination, perhaps, or the racism. Yes, because, you know, like, there's only, and, like, I hate this, like, it really, it's hard to sort of, like, when you hear people's, you know, what's it, like, positive discrimination, as they call it, like, or some mm-hmm. people call it, you know, and getting jobs, they give, like, there's, what are they called, like, forums, or, you know, they have to hire X amount of people from this background. And
Yeah, like a quota kind of
quota, thing. That's it. And I would hate to think that I would get a job based on that.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, like, you know, whatever qualifications I have or will have. And I feel like some people perhaps don't like that people are hired based on that. And I'm not talking about ethnic minorities, but I'm talking about white people, will think, oh, they only got that job because
they're box ticking.
And, like, I think that as well, like, that sort of attitude, it's just like you've not even assumed that that person even had the right qualifications. You just think automatically that they're not qualified, like, there is, it's as if they're picking people off the streets to tick these, all these boxes, like, oh, there's, so, like, I'm quite, like I said, like, I've not sort of experienced that on that kind of, you know, and, like, those kind of jobs. I think I was quite lucky in the jobs that I've had that I've never felt sort of, you know, out of place, or that I feel like people, like, from customers, yes, definitely, from a couple of Karens and whatnot. Like, in terms of, like, management and everything like that, I think it's been pretty sweet.
I get that. Like, yeah. I mean, I've worked a few, like, professional jobs this year, and, like, I agree, like, I don't think I was hired just because I was a mixed, but at the same time, it's not really anyone's fault. The statistics, the number of, like, mixed race people in Edinburgh, there's probably not that many, you know what I mean?
Exactly. I think that's, like, perhaps another, like, to add on to, like, the question earlier of, like, how I kind of felt growing up, I think that definitely contributes to it. I think I would perhaps have a different outlook, or I would probably be a different person if I was sort of surrounded by people that looked more like me. You know, it's not like we live in London or Birmingham where it's just like a melting pot of so many different people, so many different cultures, whereas here it's difficult. It's difficult to, like, sort of uphold your culture because you're the only one that looks like that, or you're the only one that's from that country.
It kind of goes on to my next question. Like, I think people think, especially in Scotland, that, like, yeah, we are really progressive in some sense, but I think people just don't think that, like, you know, racism and stuff happens here. Or I think people think, like, definitely. Racism.
Yeah, like, we love to, like, as much as, like, I love Scotland, I love being Scottish, I think we do like to think that we are so, like, ahead of not necessarily ahead of everyone, but, like, you know, like, we're not as bad as England. You know, we don't have all that kind of chaos going on that happens there with, like, police and everything like that. Whereas it's just a lot more subtle here.
Definitely.
You know? Even in the UK as a whole, I would say, like, I think purely, but, like, I was having this conversation earlier, like, with my boyfriend, and he was saying, it was like, he sort of added on to my comment that, you know, there's not that many people here, so it's perhaps there's not that much of, like, friction between, like ethnicities, yeah. whereas in a lot of cities down south, a lot of towns, there is. And yeah. I think that fuels the racism, that fuels the hate, that fuels all this kind of the negative stereotypes of other people and divides people completely. Whereas up here, like I said, like maybe not now, but like the only black person, the only mixed race person in like my whole street or my whole village. So it's people kind of just kind of take you as you are and not as like, oh, you're like a threat to us because mm-hmm. there's so many of you moving here and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
That's so true.
I didn't really think about that. But yeah, like, I think, definitely, I think people do think that Scotland sometimes, like, we're so great. And, like, yeah, it's a great place to, like, live and grow up. But there's a lot of, like, subtle, like, kind of racism yeah, and is. Stuff that happens.
There is. And it's these kind of, like, and, like, I thought about this before sort of, like, coming on to talk to you guys. You know, it's like those like microaggressions, as they call them, that people say or people do. It's like... I don't know if you've experienced this, Sarah, but with the whole touching of the hair, like, oh, is it real? Is it a bit like...
Oh, I bet you had so much of that.
Yeah, and like, and to be honest, for when I went to university, I had like weaves in like all the time. So like my hair was, you know, like straight or like sort of Caucasian curly, you know, like it wasn't, I never had it natural. And it's only been within the past maybe 2-3 years that I've sort of come to terms with like, this is how my hair is. I don't need to be straightening it all the time, or I don't need to have it in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like, if people are going to ask me questions, I'll find a way to sort of educate them without, like, you know, like without sort of snapping at them or be totally. Like, you know, like, don't touch me or whatever. It's just like, you know, this is how I wear my hair. That's how you wear your hair. Yeah. This is how it is. Like, you know, whatever. Move on.
Yeah. It's like a spectacle. Yeah. Sorry, you go, Rich.
No, I was just going to say, like, what do you think has made you be more, like, wear your hair naturally? Is there a change specifically? Do you think it's just growing up and gaining confidence or
I think a lot of it is to do with, like, confidence and, like, self-acceptance. You know, like, as like, someone that isn't white growing up in a predominantly white culture and country, with like, I'm definitely not the only one that has experienced this, but, you know, when you're younger, all your Barbies are white, the people that you see on TV are white, so you set the standard for yourself that, you know, you have to have blonde hair or your hair has to be straight, and then you have to dress a certain way or speak a certain way, everything like that. Whereas as I've grown up, I've come to terms with it, the whole world isn't white, you know, it's pretty like multicolored. So like, you know, and even with like to be honest, Instagram, I remember like when I first started like, you know, on Instagram, and the people that I followed, I suppose like there wasn't really influencers back then as there is now, but you know, the majority of the celebrities that I followed were white, or like, you know, I've seen them in films and da da da, which like there's nothing wrong with that, of course, but I was never seeing people that looked like me, or it was either they were white or they were black, and kind of there's that sort of conflict of identity sometimes where it's like, well, I'm kind of neither of them, like
you feel like you have to choose,
definitely,
but you don't. Exactly.
Whereas like I would say within the past maybe 2 years or something. Since like, to be honest, like it's quite cute, but like my boyfriend's kind of like helped me with like fashion and things like that, like he's really really into it, and it's like the type of people, the kind of people that wear these kind of clothes, and it's there's so many different people, like it includes white people, black people, mixed race people, Asian people, Hispanic people, like everyone kind of, like you see people wearing all these different clothes, and it's very sort of big on Instagram and things like that. So I like that was kind of like a path that I kind of started to go down on social media in terms of trying to find people that looked like me.
Yeah.
And so now, like, I follow so many, so like, mixed race girls. And so, like, you know, our hair's similar, our skin tone is similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, even like your features, like your, on like your body is the same almost, you know? So seeing other people like embracing that and looking like so good with it, it just, not necessarily like a turning point for me, but it opened up my eyes to realize that, oh my god, I don't have to be straightening my hair all the time or having to dress like this or like that or whatever. Like I there's a way for me to kind of portray myself, and it doesn't have to fall into any sort of category.
Yeah.
Which I think is like one of like the most positive things that has for me that has like come out of social media. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of problems there and whatnot, but being able to sort of resonate with a lot of different people, obviously like I don't know them, but even the way that you look is a massive part of who you are, or like, you know, like our hair, our clothes and everything like that. It's not like you can't disregard that completely and be like, oh, like those things don't matter. Whereas like, you know, and I think a lot of African cultures, hair, like, or in fact like any Black culture, like hair is such like a big thing.
Yeah.
And I think now, like as I said, the sort of with social media and stuff, it's helped to like empower girls with afro hair, girls with curly hair, and girls that no matter what your hair is, there's a way that you can wear it, you can embrace what you have rather than look into what the sort of like the beauty norms are currently, you know.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to like when we were growing up, I honestly can't think of that many people that I don't know one mixed race like famous celebrity actually when we were like kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or even like Black people on TV. Well, obviously there was, but like not. Like,
you've got Beyonce, true, Janet. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Or you're like some rappers and stuff like that. But it's not like, I think like they're too far away from being able to resonate with them, mm-hmm. or to being able to really, you know, like they're so rich, they're so successful, they're so famous. So it's like, you know, any other person also feels like they're a million miles away. You know, like they're sort of like like it just feels a bit weird to kind of look up to them because it's just like, well, that's just unattainable, you know.
Yeah. I ain't Beyonce, hon.
You know? Like, I really did try, guys, but it didn't work out.
One of my friends, like, she's from like Pakistani like descent, and she wrote something that was quite good, and like, so whenever like people ask me like, where are you from? Well, first of all, I hate that question because I'm like, oh my gosh, do you want like my life story or like where I actually live?
It's just like you're asking me why I'm brown or why my hair is like this, aren't you? Like, just cut to the chase.
Yeah, but like, what I was gonna say from that is like, with me, it's not. It's like, oh, cool. Like, because sometimes I don't know. I look at European, like, or like Spanish, or something, or like Greek. Sometimes like people don't really know, but like, whereas for her, people are kind of like. She said the connotations deriving from this race are not positive. I walk into a room and immediately I'm a brown girl, and people make their assumptions from there. Like, you're a lot darker than me. Like, how did you feel? Like, do you ever feel like that? Or like, whereas for me, I'm kind of like, I feel like it's like, oh, she's cool and exotic, like kind of European-y, or maybe a bit like, how is it for you being like a bit darker?
That's quite a hard question. I don't think that, well, you know, sometimes I will get, you know, people do ask me, like, not everyday people, so, you know, if I'm new to a job or, you know, or whatever it is, and it's kind of like, I think, like, the question, like, I'd rather tell someone, oh, the question you should ask is, like, oh, like, what's your background, or what's, like, your heritage, instead of being, like, where are you from? Like, you know, because, like, 100% of the time I'm speaking in a Scottish accent, so it's not like I've just like picked this up magically or anything like that. So like, I just kind of, it does feel a bit strange that people do ask you that, because you know that they would never ask, you know, your white friend sitting next to you that. Even like, you know, if like they could even be speaking with like an English accent or a South African accent or an American accent, and it's just always kind of assumed, or it's never like they don't sort of intrigue into, oh, where is it you're from? Like, again, kind of like you're saying, it's like, oh, as if you're so exotic or whatever, and it's just like, no.
Yeah, like, honey.
Yeah.
Honey, nah.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, definitely.
So, kind of lastly, rounding it all off, we just wanted to ask, how can people in Scotland and UK help to overcome racism? I know it's been, obviously, a lot in the media at the moment, but so we wanted just to emphasize that it's okay, it's not a certain group's job to educate anyone else on this, but how can everyone ideally help to see a better future?
I think a lot of it is to do with like our language, and like how we phrase certain things and how we discuss certain things. Like, you know, I think recently they've, you know, we've started to use this term people of color, which I don't feel comfortable with, because it is just a derivative, sorry, of colored people, you know, mm-hmm, and yeah. saying, and it is fundamentally saying anyone that isn't white, you know, so why can't we kind of point out, I don't know how to phrase this, like, you know, so if you're described, like, you know, Zara, if you're describing Rachel, yeah. you would say she has blonde hair, you'd say the color of her eyes, you would say, yeah. oh, she dresses a certain way, whereas you would never ever mention that she's white. Almost yeah, never, so ever, true. Ever, you know? Whereas,
that's so true.
I remember a couple of years ago, when a girl that I met when I was studying abroad, who's from France, and she had, like, one of her friends come visit her and stuff, and, you know, we're all kind of hanging out and blah, 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 blah. And then, sort of later on, I remember her coming to tell me that, oh, like, my friend, you know, we were talking about them, and she was trying to describe me to him, and mm-hmm. she was like, oh, you know, Estelle, she has this, that, and the rest, like, you know, describe it, oh, like the Scottish girl, because I was the only Scottish girl there, so it was, yeah. like, kind of hard mm-hmm. to miss. And, like, this guy just couldn't remember who I was until, she, and she, oh. she told me, she was like, I loathe the fact that I had to say, you know, like, the mixed race girl, then, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember yeah. her. Oh. It's just like, is that the only thing that you remember about me, or you recall about me? And it isn't, yeah. like, necessarily anything against, like, that person, but it's just that, you know, our everyday language is just that, you know, you'll yeah. say, my manager at work, he's this, like, or, like, you know, mm-hmm. and it's straight away, it's their ethnic background
yeah.
before anything else, and that's almost nothing to do with, like, their character at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, I think a lot of it, yeah, like I said, it's to do with, like, your language and how, you know, you talk about sort of other people, and I'm a little bit fed up with this kind of grouping into, like, you know, ethnic minorities, like, as I'm saying, it's like anyone that isn't white, when, like,
yeah.
the whole entire, like, population of the world is not, like, even, like, 50% white, you know,
like, which is so mad, like, that is mad when you think about it,
but that's the, I suppose, like, that's the kind of world that we live in.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just having, like, an open conversation. I would really sort of put it in the same category as, like, discussing mental health. Like, it's just, it's such, like, a big, big prevalent issue.
Yeah.
Whereas people need to talk about it. You can't sort of dodge around it and, like, not bring it up. Like, you know, and as we've seen in the past, like, week and everything like that, with everything's going on in America, you know, it's not enough just to be not racist. You have to exactly. be anti-racist.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, we can't, you know, like, racism is, like, a sensitive topic. And I'm like, yes, it is. And it's uncomfortable. And I'm glad yeah. that you're uncomfortable about it, because it's horrible. Like, you need to put yourself into someone else's shoes for a day, for a minute, like, and then you'll realize that this needs to be addressed. You can't just shy away from it, which I think, kind of, as we're saying, a lot of people do over here.
Yeah, especially, like, as a British person, like,
yeah, yeah. like, and I've just seen, like, a short clip of, like, a video today, and it was, like, discussing sort of Glasgow's involvement in, like, the slave trade and everything like that, which we don't learn that at school.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Like, yeah, we learn about slavery and stuff and what the Americans done and what they yeah. did that was so bad, but it was, like, nothing really mentions, or we don't, like, hold ourselves accountable for the problems that go on. And yeah, I think, like, for some reason it's too uncomfortable for people to talk about, and I'm like, it's too uncomfortable to experience it. So, you know, you kind of just, like, just talk about it, you know, like, you're gonna be fine, you're gonna go to your bed and life goes on for you. But for a lot of people, that's, you know, their whole experience is having to sort of explain to people why this is racist or why that is, you know, not PC. Yeah. And I think people sort of struggle to have, like, or particularly white people struggle to not necessarily own up to that, but to want to be able to sit down and empathize with someone else. It's mm-hmm. it's apparent that it's very uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
When it shouldn't be. It absolutely shouldn't be, because, you know, it's happening now. It has been happening for the past couple hundred years. You know, it's nothing new or anything like that. It's just it's an issue that needs to be addressed, and I think it starts off with us talking about it and asking people their thoughts and feelings on it.
Yeah, and people want to, like, you know, if anyone wants to ask you stuff, like, you would not be like, oh, shut up, like, go away. People want to talk and, like, help people, you know, understand. Like,
exactly. I would rather someone sort of ask me more about what they can do to make themselves better in that sort of, like, you know, that conversation, instead of just, like, dodging it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and like, well, I'm not saying the N-word, so, like, that's enough. And it's like, that's not enough, like, at all. Like, to be honest, being called any racial slur in the street is the least of my worries. Like, you know, like, I don't, that's not what scares me. What sort of scares me is walking into a room, like, for a job or whatever it is, and then having someone say something that I don't like, and I know that, like, that there's racial undertones to it, then me bringing it up to someone else and then brushing it off. Like, that's, for me, that's a lot more scarier.
Yeah.
And, no, like, it's people not having empathy to me or to anyone else, kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I just think it just needs to be a conversation, and we need to sort of jump out of, like, our comfort zone of avoiding it, because that's doing no one any good whatsoever. Yeah.
And I think in Scotland, like, people think, oh, racism, someone, like, getting, like, beaten up in the street because they're black. It's not, like, it's not like that. You know what I mean? It's which, like, kind of like an ignorance as well. Like,
oh, 100%. Exactly.
I just think, like you said, people just need to, like, to talk about it. There's nothing wrong as well, like, talking about, like, your...
And it isn't like, oh, as soon as we talk about it, I'm going to come gunning for you because, you know, your ancestors had everything to do with this and blah, 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 blah. Like... That's in the past. That's nothing that we now can sort of go back and erase. Like, what's happened has happened, and we're sort of in charge of the next 50 years, next 100 years, and, like, how our conversation can change. And I would hate to think that, you know, when I'm having, like, this kind of conversation, anyone's having this conversation, it's like, oh, like, you're so anti-white, like, you know, it's as if you're wanting to come for white people and for everything, like, they've done in the past. And it's like, it's not actually. And because I think a lot of people that are sort of ignorant, like, as we're saying, it's probably completely subconscious to them. Like, they're so unaware of it. And that's why we kind of have to dig at it and sort of bring it out so that we can talk about it. And then they can sort of be more in control of how they have that conversation, rather than saying something, like, on a whim. And, you know, like, also, where is it you're from? Like, oh, I thought you were from, like, Pakistan, when you're, like, blatantly not. You know, it's like, it's the only other, like, quote-unquote country apart from Africa.
Yeah.
It's like, people will think, like, oh, like it would be the same if someone, like, assumed you were, like, Swedish or something. You'd be like how did you come to that conclusion?
Nah, definitely. Well, you've been a great guest, and it's nice to, like, talk about all this stuff, especially in Scotland and the UK as well. And, like, we've raised some really important points, and, like, you've, you know, spoken about your experiences, and, you know, we appreciate you talking about all that stuff to everyone. So, yeah, thanks so much for chatting to us.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Yeah, again, we're so grateful to Estelle and Olivia for coming onto the podcast and discussing such an important topic, and which is so relevant to the moment. So, yeah, again, thank you so much, guys. And we really hope you all took something away from this episode, learned something new, and, yeah, can use it to make a difference now.
Yeah, totally. I really appreciate you guys coming on and talking about such sensitive topics. As always, guys, don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and leave us a little rating, and on Instagram at @cluelesspodcast_. We're going to be dropping links, petitions, helpful information on how you can kind of educate yourself on these matters. You know, stand up, call out racism, do your part. It's not just enough to be silent, you have to be anti-racist. Thank you so much again, guys, for listening to this episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it and took something from it, and can't wait to speak to you all next week.
Thanks, guys.